How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Second funniest podcast, episode 231 in the Heezy.
Oh, where is the Heezy? You remember Heezy?
Heezy.
I have the power.
Oh, you're thinking, okay, that Heezy. For a second, I thought this was another one of those PSAs from San Jose that you knew of that
no.
I didn't know.
No, this is the Black He-Man. He was Heezy. With the power of Grayskull.
Oh, that's got to be angering that the most powerful man in the universe is white.
Was he the most powerful? Yeah, exactly. And he wasn't that good looking.
He wasn't?
I don't think so. Did you think so?
I don't know. He-Man? I didn't.
Prince Adam, who got a tan.
Here's
every time
the thing.
He became He-Man.
I think He-Man had a hot body, but he was a butterface.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That bowl cut did not, you know.
Yeah, he was like parquet light.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Who's parquet?
Parquet light.
To me, that's a floor.
No, parquet, it's a butter. It was a butter in the 80s.
Oh.
They go through the aisles and they're like, which butter should I get? And the tub goes, parquet.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What? Right. And then the other one go, parquet light. You don't remember any of this?
No, I don't remember
this. And then it'd go back into He-Man. And then Z. What up, brothers?
Well, I just think that the bowl cut didn't help He-Man.
Right?
Like,
and he had it as He-Man as well.
I want to look up an...
The only thing that was different about He-Man and Prince Adam, and I know people have talked about this before, is the fact that he had the spray-on tan and a tiara. Why did nobody notice? And how is that your secret identity? Like, don't you think you put a little more effort into it?
Oh, boy.
What's happening?
Let me tell you about what people need to do. They need to go to their Google and type in He-Man and search for images, because there are people who are dressed as He-Man. And well, it is awesome.
That is the best news I've had all day.
To me, it's even worse than the Clark Kent glasses thing. Like, because it's like he took his shirt off.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
It's like saying, I don't recognize you because you're naked.
Right.
And why doesn't the chick, isn't it like the
She-Ra?
The princess. Wasn't there a princess that was the love interest before She-Ra showed up?
Well, She-Ra is like half-sister or something ambiguous.
So they could totally bone.
Half-sister.
You can't bone a half-sister?
There's blood involved. It's actually one of the same parents.
See, I thought that it was like 51%
or
more.
Oh, no, I think cousins. No, I think they might be cousins.
And then they could totally bone.
Not in America. It is actually genetically dangerous.
Do you think He-Man took place in America? I don't think you're understanding.
In the original version of He-Man, haven't we discussed this?
No,
on the show.
No. Why
the original
would we discuss
version?
This?
Oh, I could have swore I had looked this up.
We discussed
about it.
We discussed He-Man because I remember Robert,
right,
not
so
knowing him.
In the original version of He-Man, what the cartoon and everything was based on, He-Man was the son of an astronaut that left the Earth and went out into space and then landed on whatever that planet Eternia is or whatever.
Is the show?
Yeah. And the show kind of mentions that as well, because they don't play it up as much, but he talks about his parents being from Earth.
Oh.
Yeah. He says,
I don't remember that part of it at all.
Yeah. It was very underplayed and confusing, as many shows were in the 80s. I mean, for goodness sakes, there was a talking tub of butter in between them.
That's true.
What do you want?
That's true. They also have on these images that's not what I wanted to see. They have some kind of
a chocolate bra?
Oh, there's a backdrop.
What in the world?
Yeah, there's a backdrop
on this
website.
Is this a haunted He-Man poster?
There's like a homosexual version of Skeletor and He-Man.
Homosexual?
And they're like tweenies.
Homosexual?
Where they're skinny young boys and He-Man's like pulling down one side of his bikini briefs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not what
it's exciting
to see.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
You couldn't just leave that alone in your own little dark closet. You had to bring it out here.
Well,
for
there was a noise involved.
I think it's worse that now we have to imagine it.
They have a drag queen He-Man on here.
You're putting the word images in my brain. Tell me about the sexy He-Man or She-Ra.
Well, I thought that was the whole point of this conversation, was that there was no sexy He-Man.
I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good when he was He-Man. I would like to look like He-Man.
No, not with that. Well, here's the thing. I would look like He-Man because then you could just get a haircut.
Well, but look up He-Man without just not as Prince Adam, but as He-Man.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a bunch of He-Man images here. I mean, you could easily pull this up. You have your computer.
It's not working.
Oh, what?
My computer is. I want a new one. I want two new ones to go with my new game I just got.
What new game did you get?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Yeah. I got StarCraft 2.
I know how to pick up a request for a segue.
You know that? You feel it?
Yeah.
Moving on.
We've been doing this for more than a year. So
we are professionals. Our promo video includes me doing the Vulcan greeting.
Yeah.
Or salutation. Yeah. StarCraft 2, Electric Boogaloo. Wings of
that I would play.
It'd be sweet.
That would I play.
You like the RTS
you
games.
Whoever could build their piece of cardboard first.
Yep.
And then they bring their...
I bet there is something like that in The Sims. I'll bet money that you can earn ranking points as a breakdancer or a B-boy or a B-girl, depending on what
generation.
Was the
last... You stopped playing Sims, though, when you felt
in
like
Sims
it was...
Generation 1, but yeah. It's such a huge game. It's like, it's one of those transitional games that people play and then accidentally become gamers, like the Wii or World of Warcraft.
My mom, we went to go visit her in Denver the week before last weekend, and she purchased a Wii for my almost 2-year-old son.
Oh, that's great, because I'm sure you'll know all the integration.
Yeah, he lasted all of about 30 seconds.
Natalie, I'm sure, loved it.
She likes to play, but she was busy working for the first chunk of time that we were there. Although my son did box with me. He could play Wii Sports, which is what I tried to explain to my mom. She's like, well, what kind of games would Jacob want? I said, no, just get Wii Sports, Mom. That's all that anybody's going to need. She's like, she goes, well, I don't
know. Did she have you leave the room so you could talk about it without him knowing? Being that he's almost 2 and completely coherent.
It's so easy to surprise him. Yeah. It's funny because Bill's wife, the guy that I did the dad podcast with,
Do that right. Go ahead and promo your other show.
It's called Dads Are More Fun. And anyway.
What's his name?
Bill Glass.
Okay.
So anyway, his wife.
We need to go through PR marketing training again.
What are you talking about?
We're not hitting the talking points anymore. Huh? I'm just saying.
If we have talking points on this show,
yeah,
then they are poorly executed.
That's, well, by.
Me?
Yes. Okay.
I have talking points?
You should have talking
points.
Then
the PR person for this show is fired because I've never received them.
I think you're the PR person for
really?
The show. Yeah, you kind of, you're the webmaster and you do all the promoing of it. Yeah. So this is now the K show.
Here's my point. My point is that his son is 3 and his wife was commenting that this is the last year that they could go to a store and just purchase whatever toy that they want for his birthday that he wants or whatever. And then they can just put it away and wrap it. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, I got this.
Yeah, yeah.
After, like, once they hit about 3.5 or 4, then the surprise is ruined.
It's my nephew had a similar experience where he, about a month before his birthday, he was in a store and saw a Cars video game for the Wii. And he said, oh, I want to get this. And they're like, well, sorry, we don't have that one. We can't get the Wii. And he's like, oh, okay. And he understood. He was 5. Month later, he unwraps that same game on Christmas morning from an aunt or uncle or something before he was to unwrap the Wii, which he would be getting later on that holiday. And he goes, oh, thanks, but we can't play this one. He could identify that it was the Wii, the one that he was told a month earlier that he couldn't play. And they're like, oh, well, that's okay. We'll do something about it later. Way to ruin Christmas.
Yeah, why... adults are so stupid when it comes to kids, and I'm going to lump myself in there because here's the thing, the things that I think other people are doing that are stupid like that, like why not just give a heads up to mom and dad and say, hey, we're getting him a video game.
I think that I think they actually thought they could sneak it by him, that he would be he would see it and be like, oh, cool,
I got this Cars, and then they
were
going to
play
on.
And be like, okay, we'll play it later, and we're doing something else right now because it's not video game time, and he would be stoked for it, and then get the Wii. And
yeah, because from the way you told the story, it seemed like 2 days later is when he was going to open this.
Yeah, no, it was like later that it was later Christmas,
later in the afternoon, like
morning.
Somebody else's house.
Exactly, okay. And then he was going to get the Wii later.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. I agree.
I thought it was like poor Santa planning.
There was a year that my sister-in-law got her kids iPods, right? Go on. Then, but she doesn't understand that the fact that she's getting them this iPod, that they're going to open it at my parents' cabin.
Right.
There's no music that could be put on it. So there's no...
And there's no internet there to download because you're in a cabin.
Well, there is, but it's not very fast and it eats up my dad's bandwidth. And then they do this thing, like if he was to download like two or three podcasts, then they would tighten his bandwidth so he couldn't use it for that area. Like, they restrict it on him. So it would basically, if he downloaded an episode of this podcast, it would restrict him down to dial-up speed for 24 hours. So they couldn't buy music. And so then I had to sit there on my computer, let him go through whatever songs I had that they could listen to. But it wasn't any of their music. They didn't have a computer with their music on it that they could sync it with. Like, she had... She had no concept of...
Who did this?
My sister-in-law. She had no... And in her defense, it's what I'm attacking her for, and her defense at the same time was that she bought it because it was the thing that the kids wanted.
Right.
But she wasn't aware of what it took to make it work. And she just was like, well, Grandpa and Uncle Justin will figure it out for me.
That's the modern equivalent of when we were kids, of getting this sweet toy under the tree and it needing all these AA batteries or D batteries or those weird 9 volts, and trying to find it at a store that was open on Christmas Day. And you just forget about it, or you'd spend like $8 at Kmart trying to, or the
Kmart was open on Christmas Day.
The Stop and Go.
You're thinking of Quick Mart.
Yeah, Quick Mart. Like, any of those like ridiculous high-end
convenience stores or whatever.
Yeah, attached to the gas station.
I never. I don't think of what was your. Did you? Do you ever have a favorite Christmas present?
Are you a Christmas present? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I am.
Okay. when we were kids, the Muppet TV special came out called The Christmas Toy, which is funny because Toy Story borrows a little bit from the premise of it, but no one's ever seen the stupid made-for-TV 22-minute Muppet special. but the premise is similar that there are these toys that have Christmas and. But they had a consequence. If they're caught out of place where they shouldn't be or moving when a human sees them, they die. So, like, they'd fall down dead and their soul... They explained it in a different way, but it was essentially...
This is a Muppet made for TV movie?
Muppets are dark. Are you kidding? Muppets are a very dark property.
And you would see the soul leave the
toy? No, you would just know. Like, they would be animated and talking and then they'd die. Well, in the movie, or in this 22-minute special, I'd love to find it again, something happens, they need to rescue somebody in a different part of the house, and there's a really funny shtick where Barbie's in her house, and she's like, just a minute, I'll come right out, and she spends the entire episode... choosing what outfit to wear, and there's a cat toy that's I think played by Frank Oz.
So this is animated.
No, they're Muppets. They're all Muppets.
All the Barbies and everything are Muppets.
Everything, yeah. I don't know if it's specifically Barbie, but you know it's supposed to be a Barbie doll.
Oh, okay.
And so they go down, they find him, and then a few of the lead characters are killed in action. They're spotted by the humans, and so at the end they drag them all back to the place that they keep the dead toys, like cemetery.
Oh my God.
And there are all these toys that are just laying there in a pile, and then they begin to sing a song. This is also very Muppet-ish, and they sing a song and they all come back to life, and that's they brought them back with hope, and everything at the end was better. And when I saw Toy Story, it was probably maybe 10 years after that, I was like, this is really similar, but no one knows this stupid.
Yeah, no, I
no
yeah.
one's ever heard and of
there's
it.
A, to me, it sounds like there's a very good reason why, because it could psychologically damage you.
Well, I remember as a kid being very upset if I found a toy out of place, because then I thought that they
had
died.
Oh, you killed it. Exactly.
Somebody, like, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Why did I come around the corner?
I didn't know you were
You're always knocking
your
on your own bedroom door when you come inside.
Everybody in place? I don't want to kill you.
I'm coming in.
Because that's your point that you brought up after Toy Story 3. Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
That for those
Well, really,
of you
mine
movie,
is for Toy Story 2.
Oh, I thought it was for Toy Story 3.
No,
anyway, I think it's applicable. Here's the point I thought you brought
up. It doesn't
up.
Spoil anything if we do it in the context of 2, is what I was thinking.
Well, that Andy, the lead character, the boy that loves these toys... You know, he isn't aware that they're fighting so hard for his attention.
Yeah.
And had he known that they had, you know, lives and personalities, of course he would love them and interact with them and talk to them. But for some reason, they're sworn to secrecy.
That whole song in the sequel, the 2, with Jesse and the girl dropping her off at the donation thing.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw it, I had this like nanosecond reaction of like, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah,
no, it's unfair. That's unfair to persecute this girl for abandoning a toy that she has no idea is alive. Like, Because if I knew that my toys could be alive,
exactly.
If I could play with He-Man,
yeah.
I would be still hanging out with He-Man.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
You would have him around all the time.
Right? I would teach him to play Montana football. I probably wouldn't have any real friends.
Even if he wasn't educatable, like he had a limited cap of intelligence. Yeah. He can only do what he's programmed with when he's born. You'd still keep him around. It'd be sweet.
For the only toy that I would get rid of in that case is Michael Jackson. I had a Michael Jackson doll, and it was creepy to me. I never really played with it. I don't know why I got it. I think there was a brief time that my uncle was trying to get at my father by buying me Barbie dolls.
Right.
Because they used to try. That's I remember there was a time when they used to try and like poke at me because I was playing with Barbie dolls with my cousin.
Right, right.
And then when I got older, they're like, "You used to play Barbies with Jennifer," and I was like, "Well, here's the thing. I used to play Barbies with Jennifer by making them take their clothes off and do it, and it would upset her. Then I would get in trouble and hit with a belt." So if my buddy Rodolfo couldn't play and it was just me and my cousin Jennifer and I would get hit with a leather belt if I made them have sex, the only other option for entertainment would be to play Barbies with my cousin. So to come after me and be like, "Hey, you like to play Barbies, you faggots," is entirely unfair in my opinion. Do you know that you just turned off our YouTube?
Yeah, I had to. There was something wrong.
Uh-oh. Was it?
There was just a picture of nothing.
Uh-oh.
There was just...
That's not what the viewers don't want to see.
They don't... sorry, hold on. Here it comes.
Stop it. Stop it all.
Oh, everybody. We'll have to edit this out in post.
Oh.
This is all boring to those of you that are listening. There you go. Okay.
I remember him because he bought me... There was a time when they had an additional guy to the Ken doll, and I think it was like... The New Kids on the Block or something. He was some kind of pop singer or something like that.
Was he like the pool boy?
I guess. I don't know.
Because they recently tried to replace the Ken character. The Barbie was
with Shane, what you speak of.
Or something else. And I never went. This
I
is also.
To eat ice cream.
Why? Okay. Why does that happen?
Evidently. Hold on. We're going to talk about this. Evidently, Ustream has decided that our show has enough viewers and that they want to start throwing in fucking ads every time we broadcast or if somebody decides to join the chat. So what I do or listen to the show live, I have it up on my computer. Kevin runs the whole like Ustreaming aspect, but I bring it up on my computer so I could read a chat if it comes up. And this today, for some reason, they like to throw ads up there every 5 seconds. And it's really pissing me off because we're not seeing a damn dime from it. So Ustream, I know it's going to disappoint the 5 to 7 people that listen live on a regular basis, but maybe we stop doing this piece of shit.
Yeah, today I keep trying to update the Twitter feed and it causes the thing to crash, which is why I've had to relaunch it more than once.
Here's what I think that we do then. Yeah. I say we get rid of this whole Ustream idea.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And then you from your computer, you could have access to any sound effects or anything like that that you can drop in. Well, if I'm going on too long a diatribe or something like that. And you could also update people on Twitter because nobody listens live anyway, but they want to call into the fucking show.
Yeah,
so
like
you could
four
just say,
people listen live.
Yeah. You could say, hey,
five right now.
We're talking about marshmallows. If you want to call in live and share a marshmallow story. Oh, speaking of which, I didn't think of that. Do you have any marshmallow stories?
I do. Stories? Actually, stories? Let me think. Because today's trivia challenge is marshmallows.
Do I say that wrong, too? Marshmallows.
I think you do.
Marshmallow.
Marlo.
Mallow.
Marshmallow.
Marshmallow?
Marshmiller.
What am I supposed to say? Marshmiller?
That's
what
that's
is it supposed to be?
Name. Marshmallow.
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 Marshmallow. I could go for a marshmallow.
Remember that time we did turn the show into you being my speech therapist? That was awesome.
Speech therapist.
Is that what I just said?
Speech therapist.
Speech therapist.
No. Speech.
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 Therapist.
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 Tighter. Therapist.
Therapist.
That's good.
Oh, thanks.
Speech therapist.
Speech therapist.
You had an NS.
Oh, I thought you did.
I did, but you can't.
You made it feminine. Have you ever tried? You know this from India. Yeah. Like, you ever try to talk to somebody, try and learn like a word in a foreign language,
yeah,
and they'll
that
be
thing
like,
is still in my mic. Yes.
Burrito. And you're like, burrito. And they're like, no, burrito.
One of my favorite bits from our Star Trek days is that I think I think we came up with this on our own, but I would come up, the Ferengis, we were those little orange, ugly guys with the jankety teeth from Star Trek.
We almost had butts on our heads.
With our butts on our heads. We had a quad lobe. And we'd come up to people and say, hello, human. And they'd say, and this is a bit I developed, I think, in the last year, where they'd say, it's human. And they'd say, oh, well, you don't know how to say the name of my race. We are the Ferengi. And they'd say, Ferengi. No, it's Ferengi. Ferengi. No, listen. Ferengi. And I don't think anybody ever got it, but boy, did it make me laugh.
That's like a perfect bit for you. Like,
exactly.
That's a perfect, like, no, listen. Ferengi.
Ferengi. Nope. Try it again. Ferengi. Thanks a lot. Thanks for trying, human. Human. Yeah, wait.
Oh, that is funny. That's great. No, listen.
No, listen.
Ferengi. Nope.
Try again. So, trivia challenge. Marshmallows, right?
Yes, it is.
We were talking about the game Chubby Bunny,
yes.
Which you know. If you're unfamiliar with the Chubby Bunny, as I was, you put a bunch of marshmallows in your mouth.
No, you put
one marshmallow in your mouth.
You put one, and it's like you and I would take on each other.
Yeah.
And there would, this is the way I played it when I was a recreation leader for the city of San Jose way back when, is that you put it in, you say Chubby Bunny,
yeah.
And you keep going until the first person, if you can't say Chubby Bunny, then you're out, and then the last person standing wins.
Well, this game, while
we, by the way,
delicious.
When we played this game, we would give away candy as a prize.
Because they haven't had enough.
Oh, gosh, that was so stupid.
They adapted this game at Comedy Sports as an improv game, and it's called the Marshmallow Game, mm-hmm. because we were playing the banana game for a while.
This is the first time I'm hearing
You don't
this.
Remember that? Somebody brought up and said it was banana, but Jason Burke on our team was allergic to bananas. So I think it was Gail who actually said, you know what we should do with marshmallows, because then it's like Chubby Bunny. And so then we realized marshmallows, of course, last longer. They're, you know, you can keep them around. You don't have to play the banana game that night.
Go get bananas to play it.
Which we were doing. Somebody was like, oh, this is a much better idea. So so people love the marshmallow game. Now, let's go back in time to the year 1985 or somewhere. Where
I was 6 years old.
Oh, which I
old.
Never told you why I loved playing my favorite Christmas toy. We'll have to go back to
it. Oh, sorry. I walked on it.
Somewhere back there when I had a favorite Christmas toy. I also got bad advice from a dentist to brush my teeth really hard. So I have stripped away all the natural enamel that is on my teeth. I'm very sensitive to cold, heat, and sugar. So if I play this stupid marshmallow game, I put one marshmallow into my mouth and my mouth lights up on fire. Like every tooth aches on the inside from having all this sugar touch it. So every time we play it, I try to find a way not to actually eat the stupid marshmallows.
I remember this. This was fun for me to watch.
Yeah. So the last time we played it, I was like, guys, I don't want to play this game. And they're like, no, it'll be great. We're going to be fine. So I hang out off the sidelines for as long as I can, not get up on stage. And the way the game works is every time the audience laughs, the person on stage has to put a marshmallow in their mouth.
And you're trying to do a serious scene, soap opera almost.
Exactly, like an over-melodramatic scene. Yeah. So the longer you go, of course, the more melodramatic, the more giddy the audience gets, and the more marshmallows you end up putting in your mouth. The more marshmallows in your mouth, the more the audience laughs.
Yeah.
So I wait until you can feel the scene's about to be over to finally go up. Meanwhile, on the sidelines, the entire time, I've been taking my bag of marshmallows and crushing them into a ball in my hand. So they're one big marshmallow, and then I come out there and I say one thing and they make me laugh, everybody laughs, they make me put a marshmallow in my mouth and I can't get the marshmallow out of the bag. What? So I end up stuffing the whole plastic bag in my mouth. Comedy. I think I just ruined one of my cinema secrets.
What?
Well, now if we ever go, if you see me play that game again in San Jose, you'll be like, he's not gonna put those marshmallows in his mouth.
Oh, you're like, that's your pocket bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
I'll find another way to not put marshmallows in my mouth. I just won't go on stage. Yeah. That'll be my trick.
Pretend to roast them on the side of the stage.
Oh, that'd be good. I'll put them in somebody else's mouth. Why am I telling you all of these ideas? That's a terrible idea.
We should not be brainstorming this live.
Turn off the recorder.
Okay.
That was a great idea.
Right? That was so funny.
Oh, I can't wait to tell everybody about throwing the marshmallows
into the
audience.
No, don't tell them. Just wait till damn it.
Let's dial it back.
Hey, Virginia's in the chat room.
Yay. Hello, Virginia.
You were going to tell your toy story, right?
Oh, but we've already moved on to the trivia challenge.
Well, okay, but who are we to ever stay on topic?
Fair enough. So, after that Muppet movie cartoon Toy Story wannabe Muppet thing came out in whatever year that was, I was...
85.
No, it was earlier than that. I think it was like 83 or 84. It might have been 85. I decided that every year I would choose one winner that would become the toy of the toys. Like, and I think this is a premise I got from the show. Like
a king of toys?
Yeah, it was like the one, it would be the Christmas toy that I decided that, because I would get lots of toys. I was very well loved by my parents. So I would choose one that would be like best in show, essentially, would be the prince, like the Miss America of toys. It would be the Christmas toy. So once this happened...
So what you're saying is, around Christmas time, you would have a toy pageant.
I got to that point where I actually, after Christmas was over, I'd take all the new toys into my room and have all the old toys vote. And the new toys would have to do demonstrations and explain who they were. I have a very active imagination.
I don't know why you're angry at picking our recording.
I feel like you're about to judge me. Here's how I know.
You lean
forward, you have your hand wide open, and it's pointing, all five of your fingers are pointing at me. Your head is slightly cocked to the side, and your lips are open in a mouth that's kind of a smile, kind of a smirk.
Well, because here's what's happening is you're telling a story, and I have found what, in my opinion, is a very interesting part of the story to me and the listener.
Oh, okay.
In that you, I want to know how I'm still. I want to know like how it would vote. Like, so you would take a Skeletor, and you would, you know what I mean, and you would be like, okay, Skeletor's opinion of so and so, would be, now would you, was it a thing where you were playing out a scene with them?
It was a little like that. Like, the new ones would come up, introduce themselves, they'd all be in a line, and they'd say, you know,
so if I was to be Kevin at 5 years old,
I feel like this is a little older, this is like eight-ish, maybe 10.
So then it would go so an 8-year-old Kevin, I'm assuming, would have some form of G.I. Joe.
No, I had a lot of stuffed animals.
Lego,
some action figures, but I had a lot of stuffed animals. A
lot of stuff. So there would be like some kind of stuffed alligator, like a stuffed giraffe, a seal.
Popples. Do you remember Popples?
No.
They were sweet.
I bet you had a, what is it, Pound Puppies?
Oh, you know that. Yeah. I have a box of them. Well, Popples were, it was during the Transforming
era. I remember now. They were a ball that would turn into a stuffed animal.
You turn them inside out. Yeah. That one won in, I think, 86.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one best in show?
One Christmas toy.
Christmas toy. Got it. So the Popple shows up. It's like, hey, everybody, I'm a Popple. Here's my thing. Yep. I transform from a ball into an adorable panda bear. My hobbies consist of rolling around.
Yep.
I like sit-ups. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Oreos. They're my favorite cook.
Yeah.
Any questions about me? I'm pro-world peace. and then a pound puppy would be like, because they always look sad, right? So a pound puppy would be like, well, do you know any jokes to tell me to make me feel better? And then the Popple would be like, I know tons of jokes, and I would love to give you some. I'm desperately trying to think of a street joke right now, but for some reason, can't think of one.
This is good stuff.
So let's see. What would be a good street joke that a Popple would tell?
What's a street joke?
You don't know what a street joke is?
I don't know what that term means.
So a street joke would be, like, the first one just popped into my head is... what did the ocean say to the beach when the beach said hello?
It just waved.
Yes.
Oh,
that's like a street joke.
Why is that called a street joke?
A street joke in the comedy world is a joke that is like almost like a public domain joke that you find in a riddle book or something like that. That it's not a stand up joke. You know what I mean? That a comedian told and everything. So it usually...
Somebody wrote it and...
Yeah, like stand-up jokes you can't really tell in like an office setting unless you're attributing it like you... It's not like citing a source for an essay, but you know what I mean? Like, usually if it comes up that a comic said something, you know, it's like, oh, there's this guy who talks about going to the state fair. His name's Ron White, and he has drink coupons, and he calls them coupons, and it's funny, you know? That's how you would reference a stand-up joke, but a street joke you could just tell as
Yeah, because that doesn't work as a street joke. Hey, what does the vendor that's over in Venice say about his coupons? What? They're coupons.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
Come on.
Yeah, no, it doesn't
Comedy?
Work.
I'm a breaded veal cutlet. Get it?
Nope.
Come on.
Anybody? So that's how it would go down. And then all of the former toys they would huddle together and you would have some kind of mock conversation with them.
Yeah, and then one of them, yeah, and then one would come out and say, "Okay, and the winner," and they can't see me, but the MC of the whole thing is jumping in front of the whole line, and all the other of them are getting nervous.
What kind of, like, because in an Oscar situation, there's a Whoopi Goldberg, there's Alec Baldwin.
The MC would have been last year's winner.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when I was in my height of this, they would actually have, like, prime location. Like, they would receive the highest seating. They'd always be together, all the Christmas toys of your
class. Like, yeah, so the winners of what you call the Christmas toy, but is, for the listener to understand, the best in show.
Best in
right?
show, yep.
So they would hang out together. Like, that was a club, like, and the Skulls.
Yeah, exactly. And I would treat the Christmas toy with special privileges.
Whoa,
throughout
what
the
kind
whole
of
year.
Special privileges?
If I did things, if I was like, oh, I can bring two toys to this.
So if you're going to Pizza Planet, you would bring.
I would bring my favorite toy at the time and the Christmas toy.
Oh, and the Christmas toy.
Yeah, they would go together.
So, wow, that's an interesting level to this because your favorite toy wouldn't necessarily be the Christmas toy.
It was the Christmas toy. Chris Muttley was the first Christmas toy in 1985.
Uh-huh.
And he retained that, but he retained that title of, like, best toy. The point where he's still on my bed today. He sits on the bookcase. He's just there.
You are getting married soon.
She loves my Muttley.
Oh, that is a great bride that you have chosen.
I had to. I put a lot of stuffed animals away. I put a lot of them away.
A lot of away since you started dating her?
Yeah,
or
pretty much.
Since the proposal? What?
Yesterday. Mainly because we're moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll come back out.
Now, of all the... So is it a situation where the toys that you hang on to, or are those the ones... That, like, that, you know how, like, Andy kept all of his toys in his toy box. The ones that you hung on to, are those all Christmas toys?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm a little fuzzy. It's pretty much only the 80s. Because what happened as I got older, right, our desire for toys dropped off.
Yeah.
But my desire to maintain the tradition was still really strong. So in our family, we would write Christmas wish lists. It's something my parents encouraged us to do and let them know what, make sure that we got something that we wanted, and it was fun to do. And so on my list, it would always be, I remember the first time I put it on there, it was like a bunch of stuff that, you know, an early teenager would want. Video games and jackets. I don't remember what I was into. Hats. Like I collected hats. I never collected hats.
Oh.
but then, like, towards the bottom, the last thing on the list would be something with eyes. Because that was the prerequisite of the Christmas toy. It had to have a face to it. So I knew how to explain that at the age of 14 is something with eyes. And my mom...
like a Rubik's Cube could not be
Could not be the Christmas toy. It had to have a personality of its own.
And in order to have that, it had to have eyes.
Had to have a face.
Did it have to have a mouth?
No, because that would be fair. You could have something without a mouth. You could have a cute little...
And could it? Would it still talk to little Kevin?
Yeah, sure.
Like, would it talk like this, or was it...
It would have its own personality. I don't know. Show me a toy, and I'll tell you what the voice of it comes out of. Don't
test
me.
I got a whole bunch of them.
All right, let's go.
Let's
got anything without a mouth?
Let's see. There's a truck there.
Does it have eyes?
I don't think so. Let's see
it
that
doesn't
big...
count.
Oh, it has to have
eyes. It's
got to
have eyes.
But no mouth.
Well, it doesn't have to. I'm just telling you if you want to hear what a toy with no mouth sounds
has.
Like.
See that little fish with
thing.
That? Yeah, yeah. Let's see if that has a mouth on it. I think it does. It does have a mouth?
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. Let's see. What about that sheriff, the Chevron? Does it have a mouth or does it just have a bumper? Yeah, that one. Damn.
Yeah, all the Chevron cars have mouths. They came out before cars.
That's rough. I don't know. Well, maybe that's why it always worked out, because everything had a mouth. I was trying to think of a popular toy when we were kids.
There were a lot of anime stuff like Chain Chomps. I'm trying to think of, like, you would have a lot of very cute things that just were two eyes and a circle that would like kind of bounce around. There was a lot of those sort of things. And
so you would ask for something with eyes.
And my mom would be like, what does this mean? And so she would never quite understand that it needed
to... Nobody was aware that you were having these pageants in your
maybe
room.
Maybe my brother kind of cared.
Did you ever share a room with your brother? Or no?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I was pretty young, we shared a room, and my older stepbrother had his own room.
Yeah.
Then about the time I was 12, I think we parted our ways, and I got my stepbrother's room.
And did your brother ever participate in these pageants?
I don't think so. He didn't share my same love for it, but he respected it. I remember if he knew about it, he wouldn't have thought it was stupid, because he was off doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Playing.
His own stupid
drawn.
Thing? No,
he's totally dumb. But see, I was pretty clever with my brother, because that we used to battle like Disney and Warner Brothers, like Coke and Pepsi. with our like DC and Marvel, our competing properties. So we would have competing toy universes, competing Lego universes.
But it would be different. So he wasn't necessarily into, say, stuffed animals. He had a
different interest. Okay. We had matching interests across the board. And the thing that drove me nuts is that for some reason in our family, he got to get all the Ninja Turtle collections. He was allowed to collect those. And then somehow I was allowed to collect Garfield books. Those were mine. But anybody can tell you, a Ninja Turtle action figure is far cooler than a Garfield
book. Easier to play with.
I can get the Garfield book at the library, but he can get.
And once you read it, is it like kind of done?
Exactly.
At that point,
and I would maybe read them again, but you know, a toy is a toy. You can sit there and play with it. And then what even drove me more nuts is some reason he got his own Garfield book. So I was like 12, my grandma sat me down and was like, well, what do you want? I said, well, there's a couple of Ninja Turtle toys I actually have my eye on. And she's like, well, now you know that that's John's thing. And I was crushed.
I thought this was just coincidental. This is a part of a plan within the family.
This was, I think my grandma probably just amped the drama of it because that was kind of who she was. But my mom probably had a reasoning behind it and it got kind of fudged. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was my grandma who gave him the Garfield book. And was things
and messed
got,
it up.
Yeah, exactly.
It all up. Well, because here's the thing. Like, as a parent with two brothers, you know, that are fairly close in age. What are you,
three years? Almost 3 years apart. Yeah.
So you want to be able, because if you just keep buying the same thing, you want you to be able to have your own possessions.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Things that are unique to you.
But the problem was that we were into the same stuff.
Yeah.
So
there, that's
my
where
younger brother.
I think she's just trying to create a line.
Yeah.
That.
So if we were into Battle Beasts, so we had competing, and our Battle Beasts would maybe play together, but he would have his storylines, I would have mine. We had Legos, he had his own stuff that his Legos would build, I would have mine. And we had comics that we each drew. He drew his own version of Superpowered Dogs, I drew my own version of Superpowered Dogs. And if we had a crossover, it'd always be that the crossover failed miserably and that the other person's Superpowered Dogs mess things up for your own Superpowered Dogs.
So you would incorporate his Superpowered Dog.
He was guilty of it more than I was.
It's this
is... He had Electo Pup show up with the Shadow Pup and end up hurting, I think, Metal Pup.
How have you and I known each other for 13 years and this never came
You've
up?
You've never? I should show you all this stuff.
Oh my God. You have it all?
Of course I have all this stuff.
Wow.
You're talking to Captain Nostalgia. So the biggest memory that
I have... So they were Metal Pups. So... To me, they're almost like villains
of
Mega Man.
They were mutants. We were highly inspired by the X-Men, so they were born with superpowers, these mutant pups. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about it much because I think somewhere in the back of my brain, I think I'm still going to turn this into a Saturday morning cartoon. But they're born
superpowers. You want to edit this out right
now? Just take it all out. No, it's cute and adorable. They're born superpowered pups, and they solve crime, but they're dogs, and they fight sometimes other dogs or cats or sometimes humans, and they would have these adventures, and there'll all be
great.
These different types of pups.
Why do we not make this? Why not?
I don't know. I
can't
love...
You have the ability to animate things, and we can make webisodes.
We can do a comic.
We have an audience.
I appreciate the encouragement.
You know, voiceover people.
That's true.
You could literally build your own video podcast animated show.
I have 10 years of backstory.
That's what I'm saying. Why is this not done?
You think people would want to know the super pup adventures? I don't think.
Okay, hold on.
We've really never discussed this.
No,
and
but here's
the
thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
We assume that people want to know about sharks and periods and marshmallows, but you think people won't watch a cartoon about mutant puppies? Are you serious right now?
I don't know.
Here's what we have, Kevin. Yeah. We have a fantastic nerd who listens to this show and loves it.
Yeah.
So if they love this show, which is essentially you and I bullshitting, then they're going to love something that is organized and put together even more.
Even if it's for 8-year-olds, because I mean, I kind of came up with the concept.
It's compelling. The fact that they're hearing this, they're going to know the story that how this came about. It's going to be even. Here's what I'm saying.
That was a lot of words.
I was trying to figure out a way to bring Mick into this because Mick is like a professional voiceover actor. Not to mention, I'm sure the others that you know.
Sure.
Daddy would be willing to lend his talents to the game.
Scott Sublet.
What?
Oh, that daddy. Daddy. Yeah. Got it.
As far as I know, Scott Sublet has not fathered a child, but many children through his teachings at San Jose State University.
See, there's a plug. Why can't you be their PR? Guy, but you can't do it for our own dumb show.
You really think that because people hear me mention the name, they're going to go to the college?
I think, what's that sound? Oh, registration just went up.
Take a listen to Dads Are More Fun. Go to dadsaremorefun.com and find out all the hilariousness that is provided by Bill Glass and Justin Worsham as they talk about their endeavors as fathers and husbands. Dads are people too, guys. Dadsaremorefun.com.
I'm neglected. So my dad can do this jackass show.
I think
I appreciate the encouragement. If we have any response at all, I'll entertain it.
All it takes is one email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, and we will. What's your commitment?
We're gonna animate an entire episode of it. How about this? I'll show you the storyboards I made when I was 8 years old, and you decide whether or not you think it's strong.
How much animating
is a lot of work. Animate, like, develop
even in Flash.
Yes, it's a lot of work.
Like, how? Okay, if you were to, like, how long were these episodes that you were?
They were comic strips. I'll draw.
But how?
Comic
like,
strip.
How much? How could you do an entire?
How about that? I'll do a flipbook comic strip with voices in it. Like Marvel has.
Well, here's
the,
what I'm saying. How long were these comic books? Like, if we were to turn it into an actual Flash animated show.
Probably maybe like 12 panels on a page, and then maybe 6 pages long.
So, but how long would that equate to if we turn it into a little animated?
Oh, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. And how long would it take you to animate 2 minutes worth of this show?
Probably. To animate? Like, full on animate?
Do a Flash, like, and it does,
I
obviously
could do
it's
static
gonna...
images, and we could probably have it done in 20 hours. If you want full on animated.
Like mouth moving.
Yeah, exactly. And full time.
So static images is just like, there's a character that's like, hey, here
I
am.
Yeah, it's like a storyboard or like the action comics that
Marvel
why does
it take so many hours? Because you have to draw it and paint
it. Yeah, you gotta make it look good and presentable. And
but can't you use templates and just move the characters around or no?
If you, on Flash, if you wanted to make it look good, that's going to take. I mean, how long does it take to put together a Flash-made cartoon now? It takes lots of money and people.
You're asking me?
Yeah, it takes hundreds of hours to put together.
These Homestar Runner people, they spend hundreds of hours on these little things.
They probably put together 40 hours, and they've got it down to a system. Yeah, yeah. I'd say an average 6.
I'm saying we put together a system.
I don't know how to. Okay, I appreciate it.
I don't really think you do, Kevin.
I love this idea.
I don't think you do.
It would be a dream come true to see the Super Pups come alive, but there's an awful lot of web crap out there already.
you act like there's no room. Like, there's an awful lot of web crap, and it would just be taking up space that somebody else could be using. And it's for me, like, I'm like, you have an audience. Like, there are people who will watch it.
300 people.
What if this became your Homestar Runners? All right.
I appreciate the encouragement.
All I'm saying is, I want a number of episode commitment. If we, like, okay, so you're
I'll
saying
give you one
episode.
The pilot.
If we, because here's the thing, the reality is that if you're listening to this and say, because we've had some new people find the show recently, if you're listening to this and you don't really know us, the other listeners to the show, or we started calling them the nerd as if there's one person, but I'm going to break that. The other listeners to the show.
I forgot that that's what you were talking about when you said it earlier.
The thing that I'm saying here is anytime we've ever said, hey, if you want to do this, send us an email. No emails.
Yeah.
Never an email. Never, hey,
what's
up?
You
want to
help us get paid for this? Take the survey.
Yeah, yeah.
We only need 20 people.
20 people
right
now.
We have 300 people download the show.
13. Yeah. 13 between two podcasts. Each of them, the Dads Are More Fun just had, like, the audience almost triple this month for some reason. I don't know.
Everybody had more children.
So there's probably close to about 600 or 700 people listening to that show and about 400 or 500 listening to this one. Mm. So between...
Wait, are they ahead of us now?
The Dad Are More Fun podcast? Yeah. I don't know. It depends on if you count... I don't know how many people are listening to both.
There is
listeners
but
to both.
Higher, but the other one has a higher download score.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. We are the second funniest podcast.
Yes. So here's my thing, though, is that we would say, hey, send us an email about this, and no response whatsoever.
Yep.
So I'm saying it's a highly, there's a good chance, because there's also times where we wouldn't say anything at all, and then people just send us an email saying
That's
they love
true.
The show. So you're saying, though, if you get a email.
I will make a five,
you will
two
make
minute,
five,
I'll make a I'll
2
make,
minute episode.
I'll make a 2 minute episode.
Okay, but now here's the thing. We have to help you out because you're planning a wedding. You're going to be getting married soon.
Yeah.
So we got to give you time. So
I have to play StarCraft tonight.
Oh, man.
Lots to do.
So we got to have a deadline of some kind.
January 1st.
January 1st. Before then, you will have one episode of Super Pups. Now, are you willing to extend it for every email we get that there is an episode?
No.
No.
I will make a pilot And if that is well received,
how do you consider it well received?
I want 100 viewers.
100
on
viewers
on the pilot alone.
So now we're gonna. Are you gonna upload 20, it on a YouTube?
I'll
or?
Put it whatever medium you choose.
Well,
and
here's
if
the 20 thing.
20 comments are positive, consider a second episode.
So here's what we'll do. I will put it out on this on our feed mm-hmm. as a video podcast episode,
okay.
so that people who listen to the show can watch it.
Okay,
we'll also upload it on a YouTube,
yep.
and then people can now if it gets more than 100 views
yep.
and 20 plus comments,
yep.
then you will make more.
Yes.
All right.
Do you think people found this conversation enjoyable
yes.
and entertaining?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Just making sure.
No, wait. Are you saying that because you think I'm wrong?
No, because I feel like we just negotiated. And I think if I were listening,
no.
I'd be like, could you guys do this off air?
No. No, because you don't like us.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't listen to any podcast.
Exactly.
I like to tell people I have a podcast.
Yeah.
It's fun. To...
But I'm saying, because here's the thing. I like to think that
yeah.
people listen because I care.
Yeah.
So I assume
right.
that the people listening would also
the Super
care.
Pups shall fly.
They're probably listening going, are you fucking kidding me? Just make the guy. Why is it this hard?
Because that's a lot of time. But I do like to make something.
Exactly.
I do enjoy being creative.
But you, that's what I'm saying.
I'll have to figure out how to build it in Flash.
Is it one of your goals to make like an animation show of some kind?
Absolutely.
So you have everything.
I've recently considered shifting that to video games. So maybe I'll make it a video game.
No, don't do that. You don't know how to do that. You know how to make a cartoon.
Tools. Yeah, that's true. I kind of know how to make a cartoon. I'll see if I can figure out how to make a cartoon.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, hit me.
If they get 100 views
yeah.
and 20 positive comments,
yeah.
you'll make more episodes. If those episodes start to take off, then you could also make an arcade game that could be sold on Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network.
That would be sweet.
Right? That's
yeah.
that's associated with the game.
Super Pups Take the Moon Planet.
You might not want to commit to a title that you're just literally just
Listen, this is
picking
what,
words.
This is what the stories were.
Oh.
I was eight.
I'm sorry. Your stuttering was you deciding
no, no, no.
which of the storylines?
Yes.
I thought you were just going, take the
no.
moon planet.
That second thing is probably more accurate.
To marinara sauce.
parking sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm excited.
All
I'm
right.
excited to share my geekdom from my childhood with the rest of you and honestly reveal a little bit about my soul and bear it to the rest of the
Whoa,
world.
There's some deepness to this
Absolutely.
2 minute Super Pups.
There's a lot of love there.
Oh, boy.
I'll show you the books. I keep them lovingly in a box with all the... You never knew I drew comics. You knew
I knew you
comics.
Drew comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah, yeah.
Some of the comics were about the Super Pups. Some were about the Cosmic Kitties.
I'm excited about production book. About the Cosmic Kitties. There's
yeah,
a
yeah.
there's a spinoff already.
There's a ton of stuff. I have so many comics.
Oh,
there were
boy.
Food Friends.
Food Friends. We're about to make our own network.
Yeah, that would be great. What else was there? Those are the main ones. Mercury L. He was a lobster that had the powers of Mercury. So.
What kind of powers do you think Mercury
well,
has?
Well, he was like mercury poisoning in water.
Like he could tell the temperature?
No, he became mercury. So he's like a metal, metallic
a liquid
lobster.
Metal.
A liquid metal lobster. I was heavily inspired by Terminator 2.
Okay.
In fact, most things I did.
Wait, hold on. What year
yeah.
did that movie come out?
1992.
Okay. So you were 13, 14?
12, 13, yeah.
No, you were 14.
No, I've been 13 because I was born in late 77. So...
I was born in 79, mm-hmm. and in 1992, mm-hmm. I was 13. You are 1 year older than me, so you
all
would
right.
be 14.
I drew all throughout my high school years.
Yeah. No, I'm not mocking.
Don't, you kind of.
No.
Ah.
Because here's what happened is you jumped from being like, these are things I made when I was a kid.
My first comic strip.
To it was inspired by Terminator 2, and I was like, wait, I remember being in junior high and seeing that movie, so it was hard for me to make that leap,
yeah,
is what I'm saying.
In high school. My
yeah.
first comic strip was, and I sat down and would draw a whole strip every day for an entire summer. And on this one piece of butcher paper, and I had the whole story mapped out. But they were jokes like Garfield. And in fact, it was about a big orange cat. But every day.
What was the big orange cat's name?
Oh, Foom. Because in the Garfield Nine Lives storyline, when the volcano erupted in the cave cat era,
uh-huh.
it says Foom on top. And I was like, that's the name of my cat. And then I wanted there to be a dog like Odie, but not like Odie. Uh-huh. So he was a Dalmatian. And I looked around in the room and thought, what should I name him? And I saw a plant and said, his name is Pintles. I don't know. When I was 10, I was about 10 when this came up.
And that's great.
The sort of things your brain turns out when you're 10 or 8 or whatever.
No, well,
so
your brain.
Fooms and Pentels was the name of my daily comic strip. And then to top it all, on Sundays, I would draw it in marker because it was in color. Sunday funnies are always in color.
Why not? Now I get it.
Because
I was like, I'm not sure I understand why.
So all of this relates back to my relationship with my brother, in which we would negotiate with each other for toys. We'd always try to be trading each other for toys. And one time I was able to trade with him and got some toy that I wanted without giving him toys. I allowed him rights to my mini micro machines for 2 hours. Mm. So, and I remember clearly coming into, like, he was playing them in our room, and I'd come in and be like, "You having a good time? Having fun? Anything I can get you? All right, great, cool. Thanks for your business. Come by." And then later, we got into a fight over it and came to my mom. And I was like,
you're the guy who's in charge of the bunny ranch. Like, is the party going okay?
That's exactly what was happening.
She cupping your balls right?
Right? Everybody good? So I came to my mom. We got into a fight. My brother took it to the arbitrator, my mom, who was like, "Okay, what's the trade? What have you done this time?" And I'm like, he agreed. I would let him play with my mini micro machines for 2 hours. He got to do that. I may have gave him a sticker or something in addition to that, and he gave me this toy.
Yeah, you got to sweeten the pot. Micro machines isn't enough.
Wasn't enough, but it was like a receipt at this point. And she's like, "Okay, well, if you agreed to it, John, then you agreed to it." And then she kind of took me aside later and said, Don't do that.
don't do that again.
Don't do that again to me. Like, that's a little unfair. It's not in the spirit of your trading organization. And I think, because she knew that I was 3 years older than I probably could bleed him dry of all of his toys by letting him eventually play with his own toys. Like a drug addict.
It's free market economy, Ma. Get on board, you communist.
Like, he keeps straight. He's like, "Well, fine, you can take this then if I can play with that thing I gave you yesterday." You want to play with that too? Now it's going to cost you your bed sheets. I get the top and bottom bunk. You have to sleep on the couch.
See, there's a part of me
that
if I was in your mom's shoes, this is how your mom and I are different. She's a kind, caring soul, yes. And I don't. So
have a soul?
A kind, caring one. Because I would sit there and go, "I just want to see," like, because it's like my dad and me is that, to me, this is a humongous, like, social experiment. Like,
this is
an atrium in my own house that I can watch the sea monkeys and see what they do.
But you don't think it's unfair? And I think your perspective will change if you have a younger child to pair with your older one, because it is unfair. I was 3 years older than him, smarter than him, faster than him. I was working.
But I'm just saying, I would want to see it to completion because I think that there's a lesson to the younger one for that.
And make him stronger.
Exactly.
He did join the army.
Here's what I think, though. I think that if it would have continued, I would like to have given him the opportunity to try and turn it around on you somehow. You know what I mean? Like, and if it didn't, then I would have made up for the lack of his, I guess, mental development, for lack of a better term.
But he's 3 years younger. Somebody could have fooled me at 5 or whatever.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that I would have found a way to even the playing field, because I would have loved to see the game continue. So what I would have probably done is
start buying him more toys.
Yes.
Smart. And not me, which would have driven me crazy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and your then, dad's pretty and then cool.
And then declared some kind of, like, amendment to some household constitution that says, okay, now there's a new order of toys that are coming in. These toys cannot be bargained with. These are forever your toys, and from here on out, any previous toys can be bargained or exchanged, but these toys may only be leased or rented, not completely sold. And just see what that does.
Oh,
like, just to see what
it'd be some sweet new thing, whatever the new action figure is. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could go back in time and have your dad raise us for a summer, maybe.
No.
You need longer investment?
No, well, it's just you, because here's the thing, you're just putting it in that, but you're also forgetting about the job you would have had to have had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot,
that's right.
There's a lot of stuff
I don't want your dad.
Yeah,
I don't want your dad.
There's a
I
lot
don't
of
want
stuff.
Your dad.
There's a lot of, there's a fun, like, you know, fucking with you sense, but there's also, like, this aspect of,
what if I turned out to be like you or you?
I don't know. Because here's the thing, like, if we really want to play this game and you came in later, you know what I mean? Like, because you would have had to, if we're doing this when you and John are already around, so you're at least, you know, say 7, he's 4.
Yeah, in there.
So I don't know that he could have completely turned you into me. You know what I mean?
At that point, because I remember being 7, and the first time I was aware that my brother was younger than me and therefore not as smart as me was when we were watching this cartoon, and something happened that is physically impossible in the real world. Like I think the legs under a table disappear, but the table stays standing up. And my brother, just regurgitating what he had heard people say when watching TV, when something fantastic happens, says, "Well, you can tell how they're doing that." And I was like, I actually turned to him and said, "Are you dumb? It's a cartoon." And he got embarrassed and a little hurt and confused. And I went away going, "He is younger. Maybe when I was 4, I wasn't that smart. How can I expect him to understand what a cartoon is?" And then I kind of explained, "Well, you know, they draw it. It's a drawing." Oh. So in that way, we got a little education.
That's awesome.
Instead of hurting his feelings, poor kid. Anyway, marshmallow trivia.
No, we're out of time.
I want to talk about marshmallow. Okay. Wait. There's marshmallow.
I was going to try and use this
to push it all the way out.
No, I was just thinking when I saw it, I was like, oh. And I said, well, on the off chance, because I think this was very entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
On the off chance that there is somebody, which I'm sure there is, out of 500 people, there's got to be somebody who's like, ah, this isn't very interesting. Then I was going to say, well, if you didn't like it, then send us a topic instead of making us come up with
our
own. Like Jessica.
Guys.
Did. I hope I just got her name right. Oh, otherwise I'm going to be a huge jerk.
For marshmallow trivia, we won't do it for very long then.
No, go for it. Whatever you got. I don't care.
The only thing that I have that I think is of any fascination is two things. Do you know what the first cereal was to have marshmallows in it?
Lucky Charms.
Good answer. You probably looked that up yourself.
No.
Oh, well, you're right.
I just guessed.
Yeah. What year?
Ooh. 19.
Yes. Always funny.
I was going to say 32.
Okay.
But I think that, I think that was in the middle of the Great Depression, so that could be wrong. Yeah.
Not a lot of time for fanciful.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, and before then, I don't think there was a need for it. So I'm going to say 52.
64. Pretty late in the game. You got to remember it was about the time when people started to really invest in kids. Prior to that, the family was the family. If you were doing anything for a kid, it would be like, you know, a block of wood shaved into a head.
Yeah, the parents were always like, because it's like people always joke about Mad Men.
Yeah.
That's how, like, the kids were an afterthought. Like, the parents could be having a talk and you could just tell your kids to go outside and sit on the step and be like, shut up.
Yeah. And they grew up and invented Atari, and then it all went downhill from there. So then I thought of candy sushi or marshmallow sushi, and that came up with, of course, if you're going to make candy sushi, you'd use marshmallows
instead of rice.
Instead of the rice,
so you just stick candy inside the marshmallow.
Yeah. So if you go to wikihow.com, fruit roll ups, some other things.
Call.
You go to wikihow.com/make-candy-sushi. They're a pretty sweet little thing here. Little tips on how to make candy sushi using little cinnamon dots to look like the eggs on top there.
Oh, okay.
And
I was like,
gummy bears or the Swedish fish to just look like pieces of fish right on top. pretty clever stuff. I recommend going there. Turn your marshmallows into candy sushi. What do you got for us?
Nothing.
Oh, lies.
I
thought you said you had something.
No.
Oh.
Did I?
Oh, I could have swore you did.
No, I said, right before we started, I said, do you have enough that if I don't have anything, we'll
be okay?
Oh, got
it. I don't remember that.
And then you said, yeah, I got plenty.
Here you go. The marshmallow plant was harvested from salt marshes on nearby banks of bodies of water. According to the Viable Herbal Solutions, 19th century doctors extracted juices from the marshmallow plant's roots and cooked it with egg whites and sugar, then whipped the mixture into a foamy meringue that later hardened, creating the medicinal candy used to soothe children's sore throats. Eventually, advanced manufacturing processes improved, and texturing agents eliminated the need for the gooey root juice altogether. Unfortunately, that eliminated the confection's healing properties as a cough suppressant, immune system booster, and wound healer. So then it became a candy.
That's awesome. Did it come up anywhere? Because that was a curiosity I had, is how many kids died playing Chubby Bunny.
Let's see if we can find that.
I want to end on a down note. Dead children. While you're doing that, don't forget you can go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and please take our survey. Help us out there. I don't have any. I'm at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter this weekend. And then I've got some other dates. All my dates are at justincomedy.com. And I think that's all that I need to... Welcome new listeners. Thanks to all those people spreading the word. You can find us on Facebook. There are links for that, again, at Second Funniest Podcast.
Looking forward to Super Pup Episode 1, Origin of the Pups.
Yep.
Chubby Bunny Death, Snopes.com says this. Claim a child suffocated while playing a Chubby Bunny marshmallow stuffing game. Status, true. So one child, at least, has died from this game. actual occurrences can sometimes take on folkloric lives of their own, making the shift from news stories to cautionary tales through the emotional responses to elements of those events. That was the case with the June 4th, 1999 death of 12-year-old Catherine Casey Fish, who did indeed die while playing the marshmallow stuffing game known as Chubby Bunny. Descriptions of her death have been part of the cautionary lore spread among parents.
Wow.
It goes on there. Look it up on Snopes.com.
Boy. Well, just behind the scenes info, before the show, Natalie knew we were talking about marshmallows. She got us cocoa and regular marshmallows, like some kind of mix. And they're big. They're like the regular, like, fire campfire like size marshmallows. She gave one to Jacob, and he's had marshmallows before. He's sitting there chewing on it and kind of letting it break down in his mouth, and Kevin goes, are you going to swallow that? And he tries to swallow it while
because
it's still
not
big
yet too.
Yeah, and he doesn't understand, like, he just heard swallow. He's like, oh, because we'll tell him, no, you gotta swallow your food before you can have more. So he starts to swallow a marshmallow, and you can see him like try to push it down, but it cuts off his airway, so he kind of gags it back up. It doesn't like go into his windpipe, like it just goes down his mouth and he kind of gags it back up, and then he tries again. I was like, no, he's gotta chew it. So we had to keep telling him to chew it, and then he chewed it and swallowed
it. I thought I almost killed him.
Yeah.
That's like the fourth time I've felt like I've almost killed him before.
I only knew of that one.
Well, just general things like when you first handed me this newborn baby, and I'm like, why? Why did he throw up this white stuff?
Oh, okay.
Did I squeeze his brains out?
You shook him.
Your babies are scary.
Don't forget to go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Send us an email, show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, if you want to suggest our next topic. I don't really have any ideas for another topic off the top of my head.
We'll see. Maybe someone will drop one in, and we can have a surprise trivia challenge.
I would tell you what Virginia was saying, but my computer, the battery just died on it, so I can't tell you what Virginia's saying in the chat room. I don't think you could see it from your end.
No.
Maybe she's got something.
No,
off
the chat room's all jacked up. Oh. Well, hold on. Let me see.
On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.